You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. Know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. Let's bring in our producer now, Mr. Jason Gibbs. Go around the league.
Number one.
All right, guys, question number one today as we go around the league. You're the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. Are you reducing Tom Brady's appeal? Make your case why or why not?
I think a lot of it has to do with what was said. You know, what testimony did Tom Brady have? Did he give up a significant portion of what the NFL and the Ted Wells report and Roger Goodell are looking for as an explanation and just really get to the bottom of the story? So if he did, I would say you can't all in all rid him of the four-game suspension, so I think it would be reduced to two. But if he did not and just tried to talk his way out of it and talked in circles, pointing blame on other people, I think you ride it out and he remains with a four-game suspension.
Yeah, I could easily see myself coming out on the side of this that, you know, at the end of the day, Tom Brady and what he did here, probably not good, but I certainly think you could make the case for Tom Brady that this should just be reduced to a two-game suspension. I think when you look at that, that seems to be more in line with a lot of the things that they do there in, you know, the NFL, first-time offenses. So I'm going to go ahead and reduce it to two games. I think it's the right thing to do.
Number two.
Question number two, guys. Maybe he was on the trade market. Maybe he wasn't. Certain sides denying, certain sides saying there were preliminary talks about Peyton Manning being traded. What would Peyton Manning's value be in a trade?
I would have to say that Peyton Manning's trade value would be a player and a pick. And as I described the player, I'm thinking a young, up-and-coming, semi-proven, meaning he's getting an opportunity as a rookie or second-year player and has, you know, kind of risen in his ability. I'd say either a wide receiver or a DB that could make an immediate impact for the team or the Broncos that's receiving him, and a pick. It depends on who it would. I don't think it would be a first-round pick, but I would take a second or third-round pick with that player. So pick and a young, emerging player for a guy like Peyton Manning.
It has to go to the right team,
right?
So it's got to go to a team that thinks they're a Super Bowl. They're Peyton Manning away from winning a Super Bowl. Otherwise, it makes no sense to trade for him. So it's a team that's focused on now. I think they probably are just giving up picks because they don't want to give up a piece of their team that's going to help them win that Super Bowl. So I would guess that it would be a team you wanted
multiple
to rent
picks.
Peyton Manning for a year. I'd get first rounder. Why wouldn't a first round pick?
Okay,
to rent him for a year, and I think that'd be a fair price. By the way,
yeah, I don't think you could get him for a second or third rounder.
That's why I paired him with a young emerging player.
Yeah, I think even with an emerging player,
okay,
you're gonna have to give up a first rounder for him because he's still considered a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Number three.
Question number three, guys. Give me an AFC rookie and an NFC rookie you are most looking forward to seeing when training camp starts based on what they did in OTAs and minicamp.
This is very easy, and it's the first and second pick of this year's draft. Marcus Mariota with the Tennessee Titans representing the AFC, and Jameis Winston, number one overall pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC. I just think that both of these guys are with organizations that need the emergence of a quarterback, which is why they selected both these young men first and second overall. And I just want to see, for me personally, being a part of this show and doing the mock drafts and hearing the drafts and where do the Browns play into it, I was so heavy on this class. I want to see where these two quarterbacks end up at the end of their rookie season. So my eyes and ears, even though it's nothing having to do with the Browns, even though we play one in the preseason and one very early in the season as an opponent, I just want to see how well these guys do, if they live up to the hype and some of the positives and negatives we talked about in mocking up our drafts.
So when you go, I think those are two very good ones in the quarterbacks, because that's what this league's all about. It is a quarterback-driven league, so you've got obviously Mariota in the AFC and in the NFC. as you talked about, famous Jameis Winston. Those probably would be the top two on my list. The other guy that I want to see, I'll add out there, plays with Marcus Mariota, Dorial Green-Beckham. Because I really wanted Dorial Green-Beckham, and I want to see if he can go on and be that Calvin Johnson-type player that they may have stolen at the number 40 overall pick. So he would be another person I'd like to keep my eye on. In the NFC, it definitely is Jameis Winston that you want to watch. I'm always a big receiver
Randy
guy.
Randy Gregory, too?
Randy Gregory with Dallas, Kevin White with Chicago are people that I would want to see. I'm always about the skill position players, and I love quarterbacks and receivers. So those would probably be the directions that I'd be looking at.
By the way, tomorrow Jameis Winston will talk to us here in Cleveland. He is in town with the Rookie Symposium. So
yeah, for the Rookie Symposium.
Browns Daily. Mm-hmm. Should be good.
Yes.
Number four.
Question number four. Outside of the Browns, which team are you most interested to watch when training camp starts in a little over a month?
The team that I'm most interested to see, besides the Cleveland Browns, the San Francisco 49ers. And the reason why is because of just the tumultuous offseason it has been with, you know, the exiting of Jim Harbaugh, the entrance of Thomas Sula, who is a player's coach but has no head coaching experience in the National Football League, and then the retirement of Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, Borland, and Frank Gore no longer there, Michael Crabtree no longer there. Just a ton of turnover at some very critical positions that they've leaned on in the last 3 or 4 years of dominance there in the NFC.
The team that's going to be the most interesting for me to watch is going to be, as long as this Chip Kelly experiment is going on, is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Where's Sam Bradford at? You got rid of LeSean McCoy. You brought in DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. How do these receivers do? You've let DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin go in back-to-back years. What is Chip Kelly doing there in Philly? That is always going to be an interesting team for me to watch because I find his philosophy and the fact that, listen, he's got one, right? He's saying, this is the way that I want to run this program. From top to bottom, this is how I'm going to run this program. Get on board or get out. I'm curious to see how that whole experiment works and plays out. Who do you want? Who are you looking at the most, Gibbs?
Yeah, I keep going back to Rex Ryan in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see if he's going to be the same boisterous guy that he was with the Jets or if he's going to take a little more low-key approach. Their quarterback situation, you know, you can talk about us and our history since 99 of not finding their quarterback. You all talk about a team that's got all the pieces together except at that position.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm confident in any of those guys on that team that I can win with.
And the pressure associated with Rex Ryan being a new head coach, all that talent, and now
new ownership.
And exactly, new ownership, but also that the Tom Brady suspension. Is it 2 or 4 games? So if I'm a Buffalo Bill or Rex Ryan, I say I've got to go undefeated 2-0 or 4-0 in those first 4 games because when Tom Brady comes back, you know you're going to get the old New England Patriots again that are going to run off, you know, 8 of 11 or, you know, 9 of 12 or something like that and be in the playoff picture all the way till the end.
You're going to get a lot of FU games from Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested in that, and I am interested to see how Winston does in Tampa because I think Tampa's got some pieces there.
Yeah.
And if Winston's their guy and he is truly ready to go come opening day, they could be a really interesting, fun team to watch.
Can I say, just because it is true, so I will say it?
Yes.
I'm also interested to see Theodore with Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson, Adrian Peterson's coming back. Kyle Rudolph is healthy.
How good is that defense going to be there in Minnesota?
So-so.
But they'll be able to score.
They should be able to score. Yes. They've got Norval Turner pulling the strings.
Do. I like it there.
Yeah.
It'll look
so
nice.
I am happy. I feel fine saying that. I am fine checking that out. I think that'll be very interesting to see.
Agreed.
Are you okay with that, Gibbs?
I'm good.
You're good?
I love Theodore.
Theodore!
I like Theodore.
When we come back, we're going to do After Further Review, Browns Special Teams Edition. Answer 5 tough questions about the Browns Special Teams unit, making some predictions for what we think will happen this fall. When we wrap it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.